So continuing on, offenses to avoid in the Holy Dham. So number seven, to commit sinful acts while residing in the Holy Dham. So since the Dham is so merciful, and the Dham is giving us the opportunity to become purified, and to become purified much quicker, then, you know, the opportunity is there to become purified in a much quicker rate than anywhere else. So that mercy, we should be very careful not to commit sinful activities, because then this means that we're not, we may, how you say, forget the mercy that is being offered, and then we were thinking we're in an ordinary place. So we should always be very, very careful to maintain this mood to avoid sinful activities while residing in the Holy Dham. 8. To consider Vrindavan different from Navadvipa. That when Krishna wanted to take the mood of Srimati Radharani to understand the transcendental love that she has for Krishna, then she is manifesting this affection within Vrindavan. And so it is very natural that where Radha and Krishna are, it says Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. So even if Krishna takes the mood of Srimati Radharani, still that is Vrindavan. So Srimati Radharani manifests Navadvip to create an atmosphere that would be perfect for Krishna to taste this mood of separation. And so one should understand it's the same place. Just it has changed some of the, you know, some of the form to match those kind of pastimes. Means as a devotee, then they're all coming in the community, and they're all living, you know, simply in their grass houses, performing their duties as Brahmins. And in this way, then they're performing their services for Krishna. So this is a perfect atmosphere to remember Krishna in. So Srimati Radharani therefore created the Navadvip Mandal, or expanded the Navadvip Mandal. So we should be very careful to not consider them different. They may have slightly different mood and flavor, but at the same time, as if you really understand the non-difference, then you don't see the difference. Because one is here, the things that are here will remind one of there. So it's only maybe the, you know, yeah, so like that. One has to be very, very careful. You know? Then 9. Nine, to blaspheme the Shastras that glorify the Holy Dham. So, Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, they reveal to us the Holy Dham. So, the Shastras also we cannot disrespect. Like, the first is to disrespect the spiritual master. Right? And then, to commit violence towards any of the residents of the Dham or think that they are ordinary. So that's the sadhus. And then the Shastras are mentioned here. We cannot go against the Shastras. We cannot blaspheme those Shastras that glorify the Dham. One has to be very, very careful. And 10 is to be faithless and think that the glories of the Dham are imaginary. So when so many things are said, you get 1,000 times the benefit. The Dham is eternal. It is not destroyed in the disillusion. And, you know, it is perfect. The Lord is always always performing His eternal pastimes here. And like that. And we shouldn't think that these glories are imaginary. We should understand that these glories are true. Just that we do not have the qualification to see it or understand it. If there's any lack, it is due to us. We are not able to understand. There's no shortcomings in the Dham. Because the Dham is so expert. Srila Prabhupada mentions that also, if someone really wants to commit offenses, but outside the Dham, it would take someone a long time to commit enough offenses. So then Krishna may arrange that they come to the Dham so that they can commit offenses and they get 1,000 times the benefit of the offense. So that means 1,000 times quicker they can go to hell. Like that. Someone is really determined. So then Krishna can arrange that one comes to get that kind of benefit. So we have to be very, very careful in being faithless and thinking the place is ordinary, dealing with other people very roughly or not properly, not having proper faith in the guru and the shastras, you know, committing just mundane activities, sinful activities. So one should be very, very careful on this, because otherwise then what happens is very quickly we will go down. We will come with great enthusiasm and we will leave with even, you know, greater force like this. So we have to be very, very careful that the Lord will, especially in Navadvip, you'll see things will not be tolerated very much. Means they're tolerated, means, how you say, we make mistakes, that is tolerated. But we're being too much of a nonsense, it will be exposed very quickly in Navadvip. Because the atmosphere of Navadvip is very open. It's for the devotees. Right? So one may make mistakes, this and that. There's more tolerance, there's more benefit. Things are overlooked more here. But if one is not sincere, that will come out very quickly in Navadvip. Well, in Vrindavan, the reactions come very, very quickly. But at the same time, if one is not sincere, that does not necessarily shown very soon. And then the offenses pile up very, very great there. So one has to be very, very careful in dealing in the Dham. Okay, are there any questions on these offenses? Yes. Because it's because of the flavor of the Dham. The natural flavor. Means it's the same place, but it manifests a different flavor. So basically, Lord Chaitanya is very tolerant, but if someone is a nonsense, he's very strict. In that way, like you see with Jagai and Madhai, they make so many mistakes, that's tolerated as long as they are careful. Otherwise Lord Chaitanya is very strict because he's taken the mood of Srimati Radharani and she's dealing with the devotees, right? Means it's a more direct connection. Means Lord Krishna has taken her mood and are moving with the devotees. So she is in watching and training. So she's very compassionate, but at the same time very strict. You understand? Well, in Vrindavan, then Radha and Krishna are moving within their realm, and they're not like, you have to come up to their platform. That's why Prabhupada mentioned that previous quote, that those on the platform of spontaneous devotional service, they should live there. Because they and they are coming up. You know, and then when you come into that association, then that strictness is there. Otherwise, you just do some nonsense. Reactions come very quickly. You understand? But at the same time, as you may sit there for a long time doing that nonsense, because you're not, Krishna is not coming down to our level. Right? You understand? Means for the Sankirtan mission, means the Sankirtan mission is happening on our platform. Is that understood? Like that. While in Vrindavan, one has to come up to that platform. You understand? Means if I'm working, it's like if I'm working closely with someone, then I understand more. If they make mistakes, I know it's mistakes. But if they, you know, sincere mistakes or honest mistakes, I can understand that more. But if it's not, then I'll be more heavy, right? Because I'm expecting more closeness. But if there's a distance, you have to come up to our level. Then if someone does wrong, then they just get the reaction. There's no real, how you say, I'm not making any consideration on the individual consideration. Anyone may do that for a while, and when it's too much, then you're thrown out. You understand? Just like if someone's closer to you, you expect more, and if they do something too bad, then, you know, then one may be removed quicker. Does this make any more sense? Or?
Do you react to people in Vrindavan? Is it not a sign of insincerity?
Of course, but it can also just be the lack of just not being so advanced. Lord Chaitanya is kind of like you're doing anything, he's happy. But Radha and Krishna, it's being... See, we're offering to Lord Chaitanya. In the Mayapur, we're going through Lord Chaitanya. So he's very compassionate. So it's just like anything that you do and you try, then that is appreciated. You understand? But in Vrindavan, whatever is being done is supposed to be being offered to Krishna. And if it's not up to the standard, then one gets a reaction for that. You understand? That compassion element is... Right? You understand? Means once you're admitted into Vrindavan, then that mood of compassion may be there. One receives the shelter of Srimati Radharani. But one only gets that by Krishna's grace. But in Mayapur, then Krishna is both the one who's liberating, plus he's taken her mood. So you have both in one place. So then the compassion is so much greater. Any other questions or? Huh? Yes, no. Okay, then. The 64 Upachars. The list of, Krishna Kshetra Prabhu writes, the list of 64 Upachars begins with early morning services to the deity, including waking him, offering obeisances, and offering Mangal Artik. These activities are called Jagran Seva. What follows is a list of the 64 items of worship with appropriate explanations. In other words, in the Panchanga Puja, then you have the culture, the sadhana of what you do. That was what we've been discussing up to now. Waking in the morning, dressing, how we prepare ourselves for the puja. And then what we just finished now is all the different services that we do throughout the day with time, that we are able to engage ourselves properly. We study from the scriptures, we learn what is the proper thing to do, we hear from the devotees, and then we start to practice that And then as we become good at it, we also then teach it to others. So it's an ongoing process. So when both these things are there, then that sets the proper standard, the proper mentality by which we can perform the deity worship. Then we have some technical aspects of deity worship, preliminary, before we actually start doing the deity worship, like collecting the paraphernalia, or, you know, performing Achman, Gayatri, preparing our consciousness. So we'll be Krishna conscious. So that is the paraphernalia, is the dravya, the upadana, and then preparing ourselves on the more subtle platforms, purifying everything, ourselves, the paraphernalia, the place, everything. That is called the Purvanga Karma or Yoga. So now, once all that's done, then you actually start offering things to the deity. So then in that offering, then there are 64 items. No, I see. Here we go. Oh, the 64 items starts over here. Excuse me. Yeah. And these 64 then constitute the service that is done from the early morning until waking the deity, until night when you put the deities to rest. And so as much as possible, all these 64 items should be there, especially in large temple worship, big temple worship. In smaller temples, then we may have less items of worship. But when we have the major temples, then we as much as possible try to see that all the 64 items are present. So now, once we have an understanding of what we're dealing with, then we will get into the subtleties, like that. Because most devotees are accustomed with understanding, you know, getting up in the morning, taking bath, putting tilak, this. That is the abhigamana. And what we've just done, all the studies, all the services. So that's very familiar with us. We would just call that the ordinary activities of ISKCON. You know, why that's deity worship. That's just what everybody does. But that's the point, is that the Vaishnav means that he's automatically following the culture and activities of someone who performs deity worship, or a Brahmin, automatically. Therefore, these essential items are done by everybody. And then we're familiar with the regular puja, where we're offering items to the deity. We're familiar with that, you know, to some degree, some idea of it. So we will go through this and get a very clear idea. Then we will get into the subtleties that are there in the Purvanga Karmas and into the technical aspects of the puja. In other words, right now we're going over, you know, things we're more familiar with, or things that are more, you know, overall, overview, like that. So then Krishna Kshetra Prabhu here writes, the Hari Bhakti Vilas lists 64 upachars for daily deity worship. Upachars are the various articles or services offered to the Lord during worship. In this chapter, we will present the 64 upachars, listing them sequentially according to the daily schedule of service. Then he makes a footnote here. In the purport to Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila 24, 334, Srila Prabhupada has included this list of upachars in an order that differs slightly from the one given in the Hari Bhakti Vilas. In this manual, we follow the list in the Hari Bhakti Vilas, since it represents the daily schedule of service and exact sequence of offering. We may also note here that the first booklet on deity worship in ISKCON, called The Perfection of Deity Worship, consists of verses 330 through 340, with purports of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila chapter 24, describing Lord Chaitanya's instructions to Sanatan Goswami on what he should include in his book, Hari Bhakti Vilas. Srila Prabhupada had devotees distribute the perfection of deity worship to all temples in 1974, requesting that it be implemented in the deity worship of all ISKCON temples. In other words, these 64 items, this is deity worship, the full deity worship. So the idea is that we should, you know, try to understand these things. Yeah. So then, continuing, whenever appropriate, we will explain briefly the function of the various upachars and mention any general regulations governing the offering of the item. Okay. Right, we will not be discussing the specific way of offering. That will come when we get into the technicalities of the puja. So within the 64 upacharas, one will find the 16 basic items, shodasha upachar, offered during the morning puja. Most of these 16 basic items are offered several times throughout the day in various ways. And some of these articles have corollary ones that may be offered with the basic items. In this way, the list of upacharas expands from 16 to 64. Srila Sanatana Goswami points out that one may offer even more items not specifically mentioned in the Hari Bhakti Vilas, especially on festival days. Thus, the worship of the deity is not limited to 64 items. It is not expected that in every temple one will offer all 64 items every day, but most of the items can be offered in temples with at least one full-time pujari. As Srila Prabhupada writes, sometimes it is impossible to get all 64 items. Therefore, we recommend that at least on the first day of installation, all 64 items should be available. When the deity of the Lord is established, worship with all 64 items should continue as far as possible. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, 24, 334 purport. So then on the 16 items, then, in the morning puja, one should offer the principal deities at least the 16 basic upacharas, especially if the deities are in a public temple. Other deities, either additional deities in the temple or personal deities at home, may be offered 12, 10, or 5 upacharas during the morning worship, depending upon one's means and time. So it says here, as a footnote, if a Shaligram Shila is present, the main deities can receive the morning worship of 16 upacharas through the Shaligram Shila. Thus, if there are large marble deities as well as small metal deities of the same personalities, the small deities need not be bathed daily. However, they should be cleansed daily with a damp cloth and dressed and decorated along with the large deities. Although they need not be bathed daily when the Shaligram is bathed daily instead, metal deities should be polished and bathed once a week or at least every Ekadasi. Srila Prabhupada recommended daily polishing at least the visible parts of the deities, their faces, hands, and feet, if time allows. Okay. In other words, we can understand the 16 items of worship, then we basically can understand the whole concept of the worship. This is the essential point. Anything that's offered falls within these 16 items. It's just a matter of to what detail, what time of the day, any kind of variation, anything like this. That is the consideration here. So, we will see that these 16 items then are broken up into four parts. The first part is like receiving the deity, receiving or honoring the deity. I'd say more like receiving the deity, honoring, but in the way of reception. Then the second set is in connection with bathing and dressing the deities. Then the third is within worship. And then the fourth is like all the concluding activities, various other things, worshiping the Lord in various connected ways, or his paraphernalia, his associates, worshiping him through various mediums, you know, like through mantras or through yajnas, like this. So in the worship here, then the first is called asana. What are we getting here? Okay, so Prabhupada gives an explanation here of asana. There must be an asana, a sitting place before the altar. This asana is for the spiritual master. The disciple brings everything before the spiritual master, and the spiritual master offers everything to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Okay. So this is a very, very important point to understand. Asana. Because if one can understand this point, then it makes it very easy to understand the rest of the puja. Because one would think, well, the asana is for the Lord. You're doing 69s of worship for the Lord. So then why do you say the asana is for the spiritual master? So the point is that basically we see with asana, there's a situation that goes with it. Means you're inviting the Lord to come and sit in a place that's conducive for that kind of worship. Right? Like the asana will be offered in like 5 different places. You'll offer an asana for receiving him. So that's going to be different from the asana for offering him a bath. Right? That'll be different from the asana where you will dress him and decorate him. Right? You're not going to get dressed in that in the bathtub when it's full of water. Right? You know, you'll go to a different place. Right? And, you know, someone receives you in their living room, that's not where you're going to take a bath. Right? So there's going to be a difference in the atmosphere and paraphernalia of each place. And then where he eats, and then where he sleeps. So they're all going to have different environments in which, like the asana to receive the Lord, that can be very, the atmosphere can be very formal. The paraphernalia is very open, the seats are very open, you know, so many people can be there, all these different things, because you're receiving the Lord. Where he takes his bath will be private. You know, and it'll be arranged in such a way that it matches the bath. You have proper places to sit, you have things for water, you know, you have ways for the water to go, you know, so it doesn't make a big mess like that. So then, and then where you dress him, that will also be a private place. Where he eats, that will be a private place. Right, where he dresses, then you'll have a nice place where you can sit, you can decorate, all whatever you need is there for dressing, ornamenting, you know, offering garlands, doing all these kind of activities. And then the situation in which the Lord will eat, then it must be a place you can sit down, it's a pleasant atmosphere to eat, you have all the paraphernalia there for serving, all those kind of things, right? And then where he sleeps, that will also be a private place in which it'll be very peaceful. There's a nice bed. There's nice, you know, facility for mosquito nets and other, whatever paraphernalia is necessary for sleeping. You know, a very pleasant atmosphere for that. Right? So this means it's a whole situation. And this situation is the dham. Right? So within the dham, then the Lord sits. And that is also his Sandini Shakti. Right? Means we always see that Krishna is standing on a lotus. That lotus is the Sandini Shakti. So wherever he sits, and Balaram also expands as his asana, his throne, his bed, you know, his shoes, like this. So Balaram personally takes care of that. So these are very special situations. And that means this is a place of pastime. Right? So it's complete. The Lord is there, his associates are there, his dham is there, the paraphernalia is there. The pastimes are going on. So now, how do we get into that? Do we have any way to get in? What is the method for getting into the Lord's pastimes? Yes. Through the spiritual master. So therefore, when we say asana means the asana, sitting place for the spiritual master. Here, the sitting place before the altar. This asana is for the spiritual master. This means the spiritual master is there. He's doing the worship. Right? Sri Vigrahara Dhana Nityanana Shringara Tan Mandira Majanado. He's doing all these things. Uktasya Bhaktangs Chanit Yunjatopi. He is also engaging his devotees in serving the Lord. So, in that situation, the spiritual master is performing that worship. So, we are getting in as the assistant of the spiritual master. We never think, I am personally directly doing this on my own standing, by my own abilities. I am able to go in and perform this worship. No. By the grace of the spiritual master, we're going in through this. That is our entry. So we understand this asana is the spiritual master's. This is the essence. Because sometimes pujaris will get confused at this. Well, you know, then either it'll be, oh, it's the Lord's asana, or it'll be the spiritual master's asana. Right? But if you're only going to have one asana, that is the spiritual master's. And then the other is manifest like everything else is manifest on the subtle platform. If you want to put an asana, then you have to put a second asana for the Lord. Understand? In other words, there must be that place for the spiritual master. Then you can also then manifest that asana more. Means we are looking into the situation through the spiritual master. So at least you have to have the asana there. Then if you want to manifest more than that, and more paraphernalia for the Lord, and more facilities than that, that's next. Right? Just like you have a wall, and there's something happening on the other side of that wall. So then, if we want to be real practical, then we can say, well, the place, you know, for your, as far as you're concerned, you understanding what's going inside of there, you have to have a window. Right? Right? So if I say, understanding the situation on the other side of the wall means having a window. So then someone may say, well, what do you mean? No, just we know plant this, that, and so many things. But you're not going to get in except through that window or through that door. You have a wall, you can't get in. There's a door, then through the door you can get in. So the first thing, there must be a door. So that door is the asana of the spiritual master. It means where the spiritual master will sit and perform that puja. Right? So in this asana, he will perform so many pujas. In other words, you have five situations in which the Lord will be rendered service. Right? So, and then from that, then your other items then fit into that. Right? Means like you have bathing. So that's an asana for the bath. Right? And it has the situation. In that, you're going to offer shoes to the Lord for bathing. You're going to brush his teeth. You're going to clean his mouth. You're going to put, you know, scented oils or other things. There's going to be massage. You're going to give him appropriate bathing cloth to wear like this. Then they'll be bathing with so many different things. And then after bathing, then you'll give cloth for drying. Right? You understand? So all that takes place in that. So many services are there in the one situation. Right? Is this understood? So each of these five situations then has so many items connected with it. Right? And then, from there, those main primary items then have so many secondary items that are connected to them. Yes?
What I understood from the asana is when you come enter in, you first put your own asana sit, then you make the Guru's asana, the Kamal asana. But when you also do like become mantra asana or paryanka asana, bhoga asana, that's for the Lord. Am I right?
Well, see, you're mixing up a few things here. You are right, but you don't understand. Right? When you say the mantra, idam asanam, that's the Lord's seat. But still, how are you able to offer that seat? Through what is your right to offer that seat? Yeah. So therefore, that's, for us, the practical seat. You understand? Means, there's the theory. Like, I can say, okay, here's the book on Krishna's Astakaliya Leela. You can sit, if you can remember this, then you can get there. But if we're not pure, we cannot remember. Therefore, our chanting, our sadhana, our following the rules and regulations given to us by Rupa Goswami, that's how we're going to get in. Because those things will come later, automatically. Right? Right? Like you get a 3-year-old girl and you tell her about marriage and then you say, are you always thinking about the boys? And she won't. She'll be thinking about playing this, that, everything. So you can sit there and force and read her stories and, you know, all these kind of things. It was just as unnatural. Isn't it? Yes or no? Yeah. But now, when she hits puberty, now, do you have to tell her to think about the boys? No. Okay. And does she need volumes of books, you know, and stories to think about boys? No. One look, one glance, one movement, one word, it'll keep the mind busy all day. Day in, day out. Right? You understand? So therefore, one has to understand one's own practical position. So when Srila Prabhupada describes the asana, means the asana of spiritual master, means you're only in there and able to render that service as his assistant. No other way. The Lord will not accept anyone directly. No one. This must be understood. There's no jiva who is accepted directly, not one, without going through one of the other personalities, without going through the internal potency. This is very important to understand. Even the expansions of the internal potency, they all still go through a few doors only. The whole conjugal ras goes through Radharani. There's other manifestations to add to it. But it goes through Radharani. It's expanded from her. The whole parental ras is expanded from Mother Jashoda. You know? Your whole friendship ras and its different things are Sridham, Sudham, Subal. Right? You have your primary persons, like even the Shanta ras, the Kalpavriksha trees. The tree that Radha Govinda sit under is the original Kalpavriksha tree. And all the other Kalpavriksha trees are serving under that Kalpavriksha tree. That Kalpavriksha tree is Madhavendra Puri. So they all come to their platform of, you know, Kalpavrikshaness by his blessings. So the point is we're always working under somebody. We may be given a service that we directly offer something, but that's under the auspiciousness of that person or their assistance. That's why Krishna says, the servant, one who says they are my servant are not my servant. One who says that the servant of my servant, they are my servant. This is very important. So one cannot jump. One has to understand our position. Because until one comes to the platform of bhava, you don't follow the rules and regulations, you don't get anywhere. You either have to do it this life or have already done it last life. You see, all the acharyas, no one goes from not being a devotee to being a devotee without going through those rules, even though it may be for a very short time. They all take that path. They all take that path. You know, it may be, you know, just for a few days or a few months or a few years, whatever. But they all go through that path. Because otherwise, what's the meaning of acharya then? Achar means the rules and regulations. Acharya means one who sets example by following them. He lives them, he preaches them. That is acharya. Right? This is very important. So that aspect is there. So that is where, you know, the seat comes in. We're talking about the principle of asan and its expansions. So for us, that's where the seat starts. Our entrance into the situation is that. Then we have the preliminary, the purvanga karmas. These are preliminary. So establishing one's own seat, that is preliminary. You like that? You understand? We also, in the preliminary puja, have a ritual of establishing the spiritual master's seat. Right? But when we get around to, that is so, when we get around to the actual offering asan to Krishna, that we understand that it's through the spiritual master's asan that we're going. He's doing the service, we're assisting him. So these are all expansions off of that. This is how you get the 64, you get the Purvanga karmas, you get all these things. So we're just trying to understand now what is the 16 items and how that expands both in the 64 and how the preliminary activities of that expand into the Purvanga karmas. Right? You understand? We're starting right now at the essence and how it works. And then the essence of these 64, of these 16, is the situations in which they are offered. You understand? So that is important to then you know how to do the puja. Then you'll know what situations to arrange for the Lord. Now there is a difference made here in the Vaikuntha mood worship, where that is the prominent mood. Then they make this Lord changing from one asan to another into a very elaborate ritual. Like that. We'll get into that later. But for the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, because in Vrindavan, it's much simpler. It's not controlled by this awe and reverence. Therefore, the moving from one asana to another is very, how do you say, very pleasant, very natural. It doesn't have all the pomp and grandeur to it. So therefore, only the first asana, which is a formal asana of reception, then is given that specific title. And then from that, the other four asanas are expanding. So in the Vaikuntha worship, they will make very defined, how you say? Very clear and defined when they change an asana. Well, in the Gaudiya Vaishnava worship, we change the places, we change the environment, but we don't make a big, you know, ritual out of it. So that is there. That aspect. Okay, are we clear on this, on the asan? Means this is, we will get later into more detail of ritual. What we're talking now is, do we understand the concept of it? How it applies? Right? In other words, when we do the worship, we have to have a proper place for the Lord to sit to accept, you know, the Padyam Argyam Achmaniyam Madhuparka Punarachma. We have to have a place for the Lord to sit to take His bath. We have to have a place for the Lord to sit to be dressed. We have to have a place for the Lord to sit to accept the Boga. We have to have a place for the Lord to take rest. Right? We understand? So we have to see that the arrangements are made nice. Right? We understand this? Yes? No? Otherwise, it'll also become more clear as we deal with this more. the more we deal with it, it'll start to become more familiar as we go along. Then the next item is called Svagata. So then here Srila Prabhupada explains. Means Svagata means welcoming or comforting. Like that. Okay. So Prabhupada mentions here, Vrindavan means everyone is engaged how to keep Krishna in comfort. This is Vrindavan, not for personal comfort. The whole Vrindavan is engaged, beginning with Mother Jashoda, Nanda Maharaj, the young gopis, and the young cowherd boys. That is Vrindavan. Krishna is the center. So the more we become engaged with the view to giving Krishna the comfortable position, that is our aim of life, then we can be liberated. Okay. We understand that. Okay, then they Okay, then we have Padyam. So Padyam means washing of the feet. That when the Lord is received, then we wash His feet. Right? Then Argya. That's a sign of welcome and respect. So this is various auspicious items that are offered. And they're offered above the Lord's head. And then offered to the hands. Something is poured on the hands and one sprinkles it on one's head. That's why after we offer the argya to the deity in the conch shell, we see that the pujari will come and throw it on the head of the devotees. Because it's offered so that the Lord can take and put it on his own head. So it's not a hand wash. It's an article of reception, and it is something that is sprinkled on the head. Right? It's very important to understand it is not a hand wash. Right? Just like if I give you a rasgulla and I put it in your hand. Now, can I say it's for the hand? No, the hand will put it in the mouth. So if I pour the argya on your hand and then you sprinkle it on your own head, then it's meant for the head. It's not a hand wash. You understand? This is important to understand because some pujaris think it's a hand wash because it's offered to the hand. Okay. Then offering water, sipping for Achman. We understand Achman means the Lord will do Achman, sipping water three times. Then Madhuparka and Punarachman. Madhuparka is made from some various items, either all the items of the Panchamrita, or it's made of just the, I think, ghee, honey, and yogurt. Like this, Madhuparka is basically it's a ritual offering where a small, bowl or cup of this preparation is brought before the person, and then that I know of using the middle finger and the ring finger, and the thumb. Then they will dip the very ends of their fingers in the preparation, and they will throw a drop in each of the four cardinal directions, and then one drop they will throw in their mouth for purification. Then after that is Punarachman, because then to wash the hand and to wash the mouth after having put something in the mouth. So then that takes care of that first situation in which we are serving the Lord, right? So that is the first part that we called reception, right? Then the next we see is we're bathing the Lord. That is snan. So in bathing the Lord, then so many items will be offered. And after bathing with, you know, fresh water and all that, then when the Lord will be dried, and then he will be moved to a suitable place for dressing him. Right? So bathing means anything that is connected with the bath. Brushing of the teeth, or, you know, putting oil on the body, any of these things. This is all connected with the bath. So that's one complete situation. And when he's finished with the bath, you'll move him from that to a suitable place for dressing. The dressing means putting the clothes, the Gayatri thread, Brahman thread, tilak, ornaments, garlands, any kind of, you know, anything for dressing the Lord like that. Any nice things will be offered. And then after, yeah. So offering of jewelry, that's alankar. So then those things can be offered. Then offering of flowers. So now in flowers, because this 16 items is worship, so it generally emphasizes the flower side, which is, the, you know, the main, what we see. But it's very essential that this includes tulsi and garlands. So the essential thing is the most wonderful flower is the tulsi flower, the tulsi manjari. Because those can only be offered to Krishna or Vishnu Tattva. But the 16 items can also be used by smartas on the demigods. Therefore, they emphasize more the word flowers. Right? But when we hear, when we're talking about Krishna, flowers means tulsi, loose flowers, and garlands. Right? Then after that, then we offer incense. Yeah. And then we offer lamps. Then we offer some foodstuffs. And then after offering the foodstuffs, then there's rest. Like that. And so that should be arranged. There's resting, you know, after the puja, there's resting after lunch, and then there's resting at night. So all these may have different kinds of arrangements and all that, but they're all basically the same concept of situation where the Lord rests. Okay? Then we have the concluding activities, which... yeah, will not be mentioned here. So basically in the concluding activities, then means that we are going to worship the Lord then with mantra, through mantras, mula mantras, Gayatri mantras, by japa. We can worship him through yajna. Then we worship his paraphernalia. We worship him in the form of his associates. Then we offer everything to the Lord, our activities. We offer ourselves to the Lord. Then we offer mirrors to the Lord for seeing how nice he looks. Then we have darshan for the devotees to see, circumambulating the deities, offering of obeisances. Then distributing the remnants to the devotees, like the Charinamrita and the prasad. And then at the end, then... accepting that prasad ourselves. So that is all within the concluding activities. Okay? Does that give a general idea of what 64 is? I mean the 16 is. Okay? So, so now if we look at this, then we see of we have 16 items here. Now, one can also offer 12 items, which means all the aspects of reception, which means the seat, asana, swagata, welcoming, padya, foot wash, argya, which is the auspicious water for receiving, achman, madhuparka, and punarachman. And then we skip the bathing, dressing, and the ornaments. And then we worship the Lord with the, you know, scents, flowers, incense, lamps, and foodstuffs. So that's 12. 10 items means we offer the asana, welcome him, the padya margya machmaniya, but not the madhuparka and punarachman. And then we worship with ganda pushpa dup deep naivedya. Then, if you want to do more simple, then we just stick to the worship, which is ganda pushpa dup deep naivedya. Right? Ganda means the scents, or sandalwood paste. Pushpa is the flowers. Dup is the incense. Deep is lamps. And naivedya is something to eat. Then, if we want to shorten more, then it can be either, here he has ganda pushpa and naivedya, or it can be also ganda pushpa and deepa. Like with Tulsi, we're offering three. We're offering flowers, scents, and lamp. Then two items is just ganda and pushpa. Means scents, how you say, sandalwood paste and flowers. And then, if you can't offer so many, you can only offer one item, then that item should be devotion, bhakti. Because no other item should be offered without that. So that's the essential item. Even if you have nothing, at least then you have devotion. So that should be there. Okay, so in this way then, the items are offered. This will be make more sense later when we get around to the preliminary puja and everything. Then we'll see the constantly we're having to deal with the 16 items, or 12, or 10, or 5, or, you know, 2, or like that. Okay, does this make it? Any questions on this? Confirmed. Yes?
When setting up very new devotees, like Bhakta leaders, is it advisable to give them already the Pujari standard?
When training who?
New devotees.
Means if we want to train brand new bhaktas in the standards of deity worship. So the basic principle is this: one should first learn the activities of abhigamana, or approaching the temple, and swadhyaya. These two they should learn, like that. Then, from the nectar of devotion, they should learn the 64 items of devotional service, and understand and follow those. Because we see in that, then out of the 44, the main items, after the 20 preliminary. Means there's 20 things you should do, 10 things you should do, and 10 things you shouldn't do. Then there's 44 main items. Once those first ones are in place, those 44 follow. You'll find basically those 44 are all connected with deity worship. That's why the process of devotional activities and process of deity worship are so interconnected. So they should learn that. You know? Then that basic principle is there. They can learn how to do an artik, simple thing, and they can learn how to make an offering. Because especially if they're going to be living at their house or congregational members, then they can do those kind of things. But these technical kind of stuff like that, they're not going to really be able to appreciate much or use. It means you may learn it, but you can't use it until one has second initiation. So generally one would find that at least after first initiation, then one could seriously start to learn. But before first initiation, it's not so important because you won't be able to use it anyway. And unless you practically apply it, then it'll be a little bit more difficult to fully understand, you know, unless you've very much gone through, you're approaching it purely philosophically. If you approach it philosophically, then the details will help you understand the connection with the philosophy and the practical application in life. But if you approach it for a new person simply from the technical side of ritual, they actually won't get much benefit, because then they'll just get attached to ritual and they'll get right into the ritual and then they'll think they know what's going on and they actually won't. So the philosophy is much, much more important like that. But the practical aspects of Abhigamana and Swadhyaya, these two, of, you know, how you purify yourself and, you know, like that, and how you study and practice, that they should know, and they should know very nicely, both from the philosophical, cultural, and the, you know, ritual side of it. Like that, they should know all aspects of that. That any devotee should practice, you know, to whatever degree they can. But those who live in the temple should be more detailed about it. But the technicalities of worship, those are not essential till later. You understand? Like a small child must learn all the aspects of culture and proper behavior and this and that. They don't need to know fine details of, you know, business transaction or like that. They already know the principle of proper dealings with others, how to be respectful, how to talk with people, you know, how to be peaceful. So they'll expand on that in technical details when they get older and apply it into the world, you know, in business or in social functions or, you know, in their, when they have their own family, like this, you know. You understand? So the point is it's just like the principle comes in is if we, that the Hare Krishna mantra and chanting of Hare Krishna is the higher platform than Pancharatrik mantras. But the Hari Nam doesn't require any qualification. Just one has to accept and follow, and one immediately gets benefit. And the holy name can take you to the topmost platform. But because we're conditioned, then when we become more serious and more mature, then we can learn the Pancharatrik system technically, nicely, and apply that in our life, and that will help us stay away from sinful activities and engage the senses in the Lord's service. Then we can come to the platform where we really understand and appreciate what the holy name has to offer, and we can take advantage of the very deep aspects of chanting Hare Krishna. You understand? So it kind of has an aspect in the middle. The Pancharatra. Holy name works in the beginning, holy name works in the end, holy name even works in the middle. It's the holy name that's working. And it's being supported by these. So even though it's more technical, one would have the tendency to think it's higher. Because in the material world, anything more complicated must be better. Right? Just like, you know, a villager can come out and do something in a very simple fashion, while a Westerner has to come along and do it in a very elaborate way. They will think it's better. But it may be better from one viewpoint. But as far as just, you know, simple living, natural, being in tune with the environment, it has nothing to do with it. It complicates the life, so much anxiety, so many much more things are there. But it's considered higher. Right? Means if you can live in a grass hut very, very peacefully and very satisfied way, but that's lower level. You should live in an 87-story building, you know, cramped up with very high rent and you don't know who the neighbors are, and you got to take your dog outside for the walk, and you know, that you don't have any land, that's considered better because it's more sophisticated, seemingly. More complicated, right? Just like philosophy. If someone can present something very simple that you can understand, you figure, well, that's no big deal. But if you can say something that no one can understand, then they figure this guy has something far out to say. Like that. This is how it works in the material world. Because basically those in the material world want to be cheated. Right? Like that. So it's considered that jnana is higher than karma. Because after doing karma, everybody wants to do that, then a few can give that up for jnana. But the jnana still has the same purpose. Karma means, I am God, the enjoyer. And jnana means, I am God, the controller. Like that. And then, when one gets dissatisfied with that, then one thinks, I am God, the friend of all living entities, the Suridam Sarva Bhutanam. So then I open hospitals and do other philanthropic work and stuff like that. Right? So it's all, everybody wants to be separate from God and not surrender to God. That is the basic principle. So it's not. So Arjuna recommended, will I go from karma into jnana? I'll just go out to the forest and just be a little Brahmin and not bother. And Krishna said, you can't. Why don't you just engage your nature, perform your activities for Krishna, his satisfaction, for Krishna's satisfaction? Right? That's why we see devotional activities engage the body in all this and that. Because that's what they're going to do, right? Radharani isn't sitting around in a lotus position doing meditation or chanting Om or sitting down and reading, you know, all kinds of heavy-duty books and stuff like that. And no, they're just doing simple service like that. You see also the acharyas. They're just doing simple service, you know, sweeping, doing a little this, that. But at the same time, as you discuss the philosophy, and they know very, very technical details, you know, from all the aspects of sambandha all the way to the topmost platforms of prayojana. So one must see that one's approach to this is balanced. Otherwise, one can pick and choose as one likes, but the essence should be given first. Right? Means you can't read all the good, best you can read all the Vedic literatures. You can't do that, then you read Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Chaitanya Charitamrita. Right? Nectar of Devotion. Because this gives the essence. Whatever the Vedas are trying to tell you, it's in those books. Like that. Does that make sense? So that is the approach. So no need teaching something to somebody. It'll be considered higher, more special, but it only has effect if you can actually use it. Otherwise, if one knows all technical deity worship but one can't perform it, or one doesn't know its purpose, there's no real benefit. No real benefit. Okay? So there's no need. Means in this deity worship book, the chapters on Abhigamana and the chapters on Swadhyaya, these Vainu Bhaktas, every devotee should know these. Like that. That is how things work then. Okay? Any other questions on this? No. Okay, so we'll end here because then next time we'll start with the 64 items themselves. Okay. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.